We're still learning about the cities buried by Mount Vesuvius centuries ago. I'm Dr. Lynn Pascarella, president of the Association of American Colleges and Universities. And today on the Academic Minute, Christopher Schmidt, professor in the Department of Anthropology at the University of Indianapolis, explores the people of one of these cities and how we're learning more about them from their teeth.
The eruption of Mount Vesuvius in AD 79 destroyed the nearby communities of Pompeii and Herculaneum and preserved them for researchers to study generations later. My colleagues and I are examining the remains of one group of 150 people from Herculaneum who had huddled together in boathouses, apparently hoping to make their escape. They provide a compelling view of a population's diet on one particular day, a view we rarely get in archaeology. The technology we use for our research is a white light confocal profiler, a device that allows us to make 3D representations of microscopic surfaces. It helps us understand how different foods change the surface of teeth and how teeth wear down on a microscopic level. The people of Herculaneum clearly ate a diet that was incredibly varied, as they enjoyed a robust trade economy. They appreciated wild and farmed foods from Italy, as well as other parts of Europe and beyond into Asia and Africa. Somewhat surprisingly, we found there were only subtle nuances in what males and females, young and old, ate. Overall, everyone was eating everything. It's extraordinary. In addition to diet, we know, at least preliminarily, that we have people from a wide swath of the Roman world, people from the Italian peninsula, and perhaps other parts of Europe and/or Asia, and perhaps one person with North African origins. Our work confirms that the people of Herculaneum were a diverse group consuming a wide variety of goods. At some level, Herculaneum was a hub, a place with people from different parts of the world coming together to live, at least for a while.
That was Christopher Schmidt of the University of Indianapolis. You can find this, other segments, and more information about the professors at academicminute.org.
Production support for the Academic Minute comes from AAC&U, Advancing Liberal Learning and Research for the Public Good.